morning. I'd like to thank everybody for coming to share this morning from far and wide. And especially, you know, it is a busy Sunday. They call it Super Sunday. In fact, I Googled it. So, Super Sunday, obviously, is the Sunday associated with the Super Bowl. There is major Jewish federations try to collect money, too. But that's a different Sunday. But in America, Super Bowl Sunday, literally, 21st century, has become a holiday. In fact, I checked up the stats. It's of all the days on the secular American calendar, maybe I should call it the religious American calendar. This Super Bowl Sunday comes up a winner, practically in second place. The only other day which more food is consumed is Thanksgiving. But next to Thanksgiving, the greatest feast that Americans have is on Super Bowl Sunday. It's an all-out party centered around a television screen, flat screen, yes, there's some beer, food, watching a football game, watching a pigskin. Now, one might think that such a thing is treif, a pigskin, in the Jewish world. And, you know, there definitely are parts of the Jewish world which view it very, very treif. But if you open any Jewish communal magazine, this one happens to be from a community called Brooklyn, Flatbush. Everywhere you look, there's programming about the Super Bowl. There are advertisements. All you can eat bashes. Melchitz, Fleishitz. Every restaurant knows it's a good time to do business, especially if you put the two, you update it with the latest helmets from this year's Super Bowl teams. There's even a place in Flatbush called Dixie. Go figure. They copy it over here. But, you know, what happens by the Goyim happens by the Jews. And sports really is a major, major aspect of American society. And though I'm not condoning what many might look at as a waste of time, per se, but we have to deal with reality, as was mentioned before. Just this past week, someone pointed out to me, I thought, an important point, to realize where American society is holding. There just was, a week ago, an American sports figure, he's no longer playing sports, he was retired, but Mr. Kobe Bryant was tragically killed together with others, his daughter and others, in a helicopter crash in Los Angeles. That one event sent shockwaves all around the world. People were literally in mourning over the death of this basketball player. And my initial reaction, Nishkin Kanoi, I know of sports. I thought it was such an overreaction. All these people are like, oh my gosh, where were you when you found out the news about Kobe being killed? People crying, mourning. Like, I was a little taken aback. Like, come on. Then I realized, someone said it to me. I was driving in New York. I heard it at one of the radio stations. People were comparing the death of Kobe Bryant to where you were when JFK was shot. I'm not talking lunatics. These are regular, upstanding individuals. This is where America's at. This is where, to be honest, the community. People are very involved with sports. It's such an aspect of life. You want to deny it? Try denying it. But there's lots of evidence against it. And the Mela, we have to deal with it. We have to focus on it. We have to figure out the correct Torah perspective to learn from it. And I figured, in fact, I was requested. Someone asked me, hey, Rabbi, Sunday morning, giving a share about the Super Bowl. I'm not giving a share about the actual game, team colors, but I want to give a share which, at least as an aside, could come up related to Super Bowl. But obviously, it's just to get everyone in the door and listen to an exciting share. So today's share is a Shaila. The actual Shaila wasn't necessarily around Super Bowl Sunday, but I would like to think that it was. I'll just color it in team colors like that. As you mentioned before, there's a tremendous amount of food consumed for the Super Bowl. Right? I wonder, when I told you in the secular world, Super Bowl is like the second to biggest feast day of the year behind Thanksgiving. I wonder in the Jewish world where it ranks. I would hope our Yom Tovim, where Chazal delineate in Simcha u'Basar v'Yayin, those are the top ones. But I don't know, it's creeping up there. The way people go all out eating, maybe it's only comparable to the Pesach hotels, I don't know. But it's really, really creeping up there how much meat, food is consumed for the Super Bowl. So here you have a Jewish community and they're anxiously waiting, the restaurants, the supermarkets, the butchers are waiting for their shipments of meat. They have a lot of cooking to do. Super Bowl Sunday's coming. Well, Super Bowl happens, as we know, middle of the winter. Today's February 2nd. So there's a shipment of meat, right? Most of the meat that's consumed here in America is shechted somewhere in the Midwest. And it has to make its way either towards the east or towards the west. Say we're here on the East Coast waiting for our shipment of meat, and the worst possible timing could happen. A few days before the Super Bowl in the Midwest, there's a crazy snowstorm, a blizzard, and that affects travel. You want to ask how common is such a thing? Quite common. I'd like to share with you a shaila that I came across. There was a rav getting ready for Shabbos Friday afternoon, an hour or so before Shabbos, and the phone rings. His rabbinic phone rings. Bad phone. And, okay, a rabbi has to keep his phone on Erev Shabbos. Never know. Woman's calling with a cholent shayla, a chicken shayla. He gets a phone call. But this one is from a dispatcher of a truck company. He's like, Rabbi, I got your number that I should use in case of an emergency. This is an emergency. You could feel the thump in the rabbi's chest. Oh boy. We have a truck that has a ton of Jewish kosher meat in it that's stuck in a blizzard. And the clock is ticking. The truck is stuck somewhere in Nebraska. It's got to get to the East Coast because the meat has to be washed by Saturday night, 11 p.m. That's the question this rabbi gets on a Friday afternoon, an hour before Shabbos. What's this business? Truck of meat? Nebraska trucker, the trucking company's calling it up. The meat has to be washed by Saturday night, 11 p.m. What's this all about? So I would like to show the background of this halakhic shaila, explain what's going on. Really, I'd like to tell over this story in three parts. This is part one. We're going to go through what happened on this particular case to understand the halakha and the challenges involved in us having a nice piece of meat to barbecue to eat for a Sunday night dinner. Not so simple. I'll explain that in a moment. If you look on your sheets, the halacha talks about, this is Shulchan Aruch, Yeridea, Simen Samach Tes. One of the most basic halachas involved in the preparation of meat for consumption. Obviously, the first step for kosher meat is a kosher shechita. Meat has to be shechted properly. Without it being shechted, you're eating something which is treif, which is not shechted. But after shechting, there's a process, I'm sure we've heard of it, called kashering the meat. Yeah. What that process is you want to get out the excess blood which was inside this animal, because the Torah also has an iser on a Jewish person eating blood. So there's a process of kashering the meat, which some of you might remember from parents, grandparents. I heard about it. My father told me of it. Right? But you still could see in any supermarket across America, you could find a nice box or bottle container of kosher salt. Right? What's kosher salt? This thick, coarse salt, which is used in the melicha, in the salting process, which helps get out the blood. I'm not going to go through the entire process. It involves washing and salting and washing and washing and washing. Lots of fun blood. It's a dirty job. But through that process, meat becomes kosher and able to be eaten. In the olden days, this process was done by a nice Jewish woman in the house after she bought her meat. Nowadays, for the most part, it's done either by the butcher or really practically a lot today, as is told to me by people in the kashrus industry, a lot of it's done in the schlachthaus. Right after they shecht it, they do this whole process of kashering, which would make it, and today, this shaila that I'm addressing is less common. But you go back a few years, and this particular shaila, I don't think it was so many decades ago, somewhat recent. Different situations, different shechting plants, areas go about their business differently. But all meat has to be kosher. And the thing is, the koshering has to be done within 72 hours from the time the meat was shechted. That's the halacha we're going to begin with in Sif Yud Beis. Basar shesha gimel yamim me'es le'es. Meat that remained for 72 hours, 3 days. Below melicha, without salting. The problem is, nisyaishvu damo besocho, the blood dries within the meat of the animal. V'lo yotzo'o radim alicha, then you can't get the blood out. Once 72 hours pass, that blood dries up inside that meat of the animal, and you won't be able to get it out just by salting it. Which would mean, at that point, you have a problem. You can't eat that meat if there's blood in it. Ve'ela achil mevusho, then you can't cook the meat. El etzli, the only thing you could do to that meat is to roast it. And va'acha shetzolu lo yivashlu. Then once, technically you could get the meat, the blood out by roasting it, by broiling it, but the halacha states, and after that you can't cook it. So there's much limited value for the meat. Right? When people want to buy meat, they want a piece of meat, they can do whatever they want with it. If the only way you could eat this meat, you can no longer cook it afterwards, you just broiled it, can't do anything else to it. So that obviously tremendously decreases the value of that meat. Huh? Okay, right? Now, just as an aside, if anyone here ever had kosher liver, liver is a whole other shayla about melicha, and there's a whole process by liver. The only way we say you could kosher liver is by broiling it. And you have to know...
It's only part of it.
Right?
A very small part of it.
Right. It's a whole procedure.
Do not try this.
Yes. I've heard of many shaylas of people not knowing what to do with liver. You know, I've seen in some kosher stores, they have like a little bit, like a cue card of the process of what to do. But not recommended. You could easily trafe up your pots. Not a good idea. But anyway, back to our regular meat. So we have a big problem. If the meat is not what, if the meat is not, the melicha process is not done within 72 hours of this meat being shechted, that's it. For all practical purposes, for the most part, this meat has no value. And when we're talking about shipping companies, which are taking huge pieces of meat, you're talking about tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of merchandise. Easily. And if there's a loss to this meat, that for sure is a hefsin meruba. It's a big loss. So, you got to get the salt in that meat right away. So again, practically today, a lot of places, they salt it as soon as they shecht it. 20 minutes later, they're ready salting it, and that will solve these problems. However, there are cases, and there definitely were a lot of cases, someone, when they saw this title, all I had to put on it was Nebraska truck, a lot of meat, and the clock is ticking. If I just said the first two, some might think there's a concept of basar shenis alam and ayin, that meat shouldn't be outside of the watch of a Jewish person. But once you put the clock is ticking, that gives a clue that we're not talking about that. We're talking about the salting issue. So somebody remembered Rabbi Emanuel Feldman, the famous Rav, built up the Atlanta Jewish community. So he has a nice comical book, Tales Out of Shul. It wasn't meant to be comedy, but that's the life of a Shul Rav. So in the book, he talks about cases like this. He had multiple cases. He's about to run out to his 25th anniversary dinner with his wife, and the trucker is on the side of the road. You know, I broke down. Hey, Rabbi, can you put on your scrubs and come out to like hose down my truck? So we'll get to that in a moment. These things happen many, many times. I'm sure people can tell us stories. Many times you have trouble with meat. So what are you to do? If you can't get the meat koshered within 72 hours, is there any etzah? So the next sif in the Shulchan Aruch does give us an etzah. So let us read that. Shulchan Aruch writes, Vim shoru osu b'mayim, if you soak it in water, tocha gimel yamin, within these 3 days, within the 72 hours after that meat was shechted, you soak the meat in water. Yachal ha-shoso old shlosha yamim acherim. You could now let it stay for another 3 days. Pachas chatzisha. This is a tremendous, big, big heter. We're going to have to see what it applies to. If one soaks this meat within 72 hours, then the clock restarts. And the reasoning behind this is what's the whole reason we have to salt it within 72 hours? Because after that time, the blood's going to stiffen up, harden up, and you won't be able to get it out. But if you soak the meat, that soaking will allow, the way Chazal estimated it, that you have another 72 hours till the process of hardening starts. So by you soaking it, you get yourself another free 72 hours. And practically, if it happens again, you're stuck again, you could do it again. Anytime you soak the meat, as long as there hasn't been 72 hours passing, you get a turbo boost, another free 72 hours, and you could extend the journey of the meat that way. Right, right. Exactly. When you know halacha, it makes things so much better. Exactly. In the middle of a long speech and you haven't benched yet. So what do? You pass around the bulkies, you pass around some bread, have some bread, and the clock keeps on ticking. Yeah, you got to know all the halachic chops of how to do things. Yes, uncle.
Is it just dunking the meat once, or is it you have to actually sit there and soak it?
Okay, so we're going to talk about this. What exactly is the process that one has to do to keep the clock going? But simply put, the way that Shulchan Aruch writes it, as long as the words of the Shulchan Aruch are, you soak it within the 72 hours, then the clock restarts. Once it's time on the clock, there's still hope. Depending how much you're down, but okay.
Is that in salt water or just regular water?
Oh, yeah. So I think it's just regular water. We'll save the salt water for Pesach. But just by putting it in water itself, that water would keep the flesh still moist, and the mela, the clock could still go on till it would harden up and you can't do malicha anymore.
So are we saying that at 72 hours there's a switch that says, okay, it's hard, the blood is hardened, but at 71 hours it's still soft?
So, kol shirei chachamim kachu. The rabbis estimate something. Yeah, we assume it's good estimation. Right, the 72-hour window is halach l'maisa, you can rely on that. Right? You don't say a lashon of pachas chatz yisha, but yeah. But for the most part, yeah, it's a practical thing. When was the last time? These truckers know this. They know to report when was the last time the meat was washed, how much time do they have. And they're given, these truckers are given rabbis' numbers all across America, that if they're stuck at any point, okay, if you're stuck around here, you call this rabbi. Stuck around there, you call that rabbi. They know it. The truckers know it, their dispatchers know it, and they're in contact. It's amazing. We just go to the store and buy a piece of meat. Oh, that was tough. Right? Do you realize what it took? Right? Do you realize what it took to get that piece of meat to your plate? It's a big process. Some of you are paying for the shipping on the price too. Yes?
Don't they have insurance?
Kosher insurance.
Yes, absolutely.
Right?
Right. Spoilage insurance. Yeah, it's available.
They do, but it right. Still means you don't have a shipment of meat going to wherever it was supposed to go to. And not a whole community.
What about in the summertime? It's on a truck and the refrigeration system goes down.
Yeah, yeah.
Really,
right? I do think all the insurance salesmen over here, now that you have the share, you can start selling more insurance, meat spoilage. Maybe here in Florida, we should sell it to people too with blackouts. We should have meat spoilage insurance. Yeah, sure. 100%. Yes?
Soak with ice and then let it melt. What's your timing? Because the water's still coming in.
Very, very interesting, Shiloh. We'll get to that later. You brought up a case. What about putting ice and the ice melting Is that the same thing? Not so simple. The Aruch HaShulchan talks about your case. So we'll get there. Page 2. So again, we just saw our two halachas. Number one, Shulchan Aruch tells us that in order to do this, the salting process, melicha is what it's called, that has to be done within 72 hours of the shechita. And if it's not, then you're in big trouble. But step two, the big heter, is if that meat was soaked in water within the 72 hours, then you get a free 72 hours from that point, which could mamela extend the time you have till you do the salting. Now, the Mefarshim debate, should one ideally be using this soaking method to extend the clock? The Taz on the Shulchan Aruch over there is very much against it. Saying, lechachilo, to do something like this? Let's say you know you're going to have a long journey, right? Of what I read up on, most of these, in normal conditions, you shech meat in Nebraska, it could reach New York, it could reach the West Coast within 3 days. It's got 72 hours. Normal conditions in trucking in America, you are able to shech something in the Midwest and get it east or westbound within 72 hours. That's the normal situation. So you don't need to do this to begin with. But let's say there is some, you know, you're doing it and Thanksgiving weekend and there's extra traffic on the road and it's not going to get there in 72 hours. So practically, the trucking company might say, okay, so we'll set up ahead of time a washing station, or we'll talk about it, a soaking station, right, to soak the meat. So the Taz says, you can't do that. If you're stuck, well, you're not stuck, you're planning to do this ahead of time. So the Taz is against this whole after. However, the Shach argues and permits it. And he says an idea, which later I found that Moshe Feinstein echoes in the Tshuva, quoting the Shach, is that in general, with the concept, this whole window of the 72 hours is from the Gaonim, and there's room to be makel with these things. The opposite approach of the Taz. The Taz felt, you can't do this stuff l'chachilim, and you have to be machmer. The Shach, on the other hand, here in Shulchan Aruch, says, no, there is room to be makel, especially with melicha, things like this. And yes, one is allowed, you know, to set up. Obviously, it's better to get it without utilizing this washing process. But if one has to, one could. Yes?
Why don't they just wash it right after they check it?
So practically, oh, interesting. Right? No, if you wash it right after you shecht it, you're not gaining any time. The clock starts. If you wash it right after you shecht it.
Why don't they just go through the whole process?
Oh, so the whole process, you're right. Practically, nowadays, a lot of people do that. A lot of these plants, I assume the big kosher plants, and what I'm told, they do the whole salting process right there, which is solvent. But it's a whole other process. And Lav Dafka, for all, let's say you have a plant that's kosher meat and non-kosher meat. So they only have a whole processing plant for salting, right? The treif meat is not being salted. So they bring in a sheikh at the shecht. They don't have the whole thing set up to do salting. So it gets tricky. So
the ones that don't have capacity to do it at the slaughterhouse, almost all of them contract out to somebody very close by. So within 12 hours, it's at the plant that can't do that.
Okay, so Baruch Hashem. Right. What we're saying is, in practically in America today, a lot of this has been upgraded. And Baruch Hashem. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of times the salting itself, or the washing, is done right there on the truck. They put the meat in the truck, and inside the truck, they're doing this whole business.
Is there a difference between using just to wash
regular? Yes, I'm about to get to that. So the Shulchan Aruch itself talks about soaking, which was just pointed out, right? You have a big slab of meat. Find me the size of a sink that it could fit in. They're going to fill it with water. We're talking about we need bathtubs, right? These are not just little sink jobs you could do. You need a full big bath for some of these slabs of meat, right? Yeah, it's a big job. So soaking is not so practical. What about, instead of soaking, would one be allowed to wash it down? I'll take a hose. I'll hose down this meat. Do I actually have to soak it? That's the words of the Shulchan Aruch. Or is it okay if one hoses it down? So this also was a debatable concept. Again, once you get into issues which are debatable, that's another reason why it's such a wonderful thing that nowadays a lot has been done that they just do the whole process beforehand. So it solves all these issues. But where one wants to extend the time for the 72 hours by washing the meat, does one have to soak it? Or is one able to take a hose and hose it down? So this is also a debate. But I have a Pisrei Tshuva over here that talks about and matters for one to wash it down. Even within the washing, there are debates how much water has to be on it, right? The force, how you do it. Right, the misting idea, not so simple, right? Because we're really trying to understand, right? The problem, right? What's our goal? Our goal is to make sure that that blood doesn't harden inside the meat. So soaking, when you soak something, it's thoroughly, the water thoroughly gets in, and that has an impact on the flesh. It's not going to harden. You wash it. Yeah, maybe that could have a similar impact, the same impact, maybe not. That's why there's room for debate. What was brought up, what about I mist it? I give it a nice little mist, right? Obviously, something like that is much harder to think that that's going to have the same process as what the Shulchan Aruch talked about, soaking it, or even this potential act of washing it. So, not so simple. Different cautious organizations would require different things. Not so simple how to interpret how far you have to go in terms of the washing. So that basically takes care of part one. So again, part one we're discussing is we have this truck stuck in a blizzard, side of a road. He's calling with a problem. He needs his meat washed. Why does he need his meat washed? Because for the Malicha wasn't yet done. There are 72 hours till this meat halachically goes bad. And the only way to revive it is to wash it. Right? Rabbi Feldman said one time, this trucker called him. And he's like, Rabbi, I need you to come and bless the meat. Rabbi Feldman, like, of course, cracked up. He's like, you know, you think this is like some, like, you know, holy service. The rabbi's coming, putting his hands on the head of the par, just like the Kohen Gadol, you know, Yom Kippur. Imagine the Kohen Gadol dressed up, you know, putting his hands, a smicha, right? That was an act of kavod, prestige, blessing, you know. Here, the rabbi is in, where's Rabbi Shaffer? Is in overalls, you know, with his boots, right? Yeah. Lying down with a hose, spritzing this meat that's hitting him, and splashing back on him. Like, if there's anything that's more degrading, you know, this is the rabbinic job of hosing down the meat. Not so glamorous, not such a blessing, but this is life. This is what a rav has to do. You got to get yourself, you know, roll up your sleeves. So you can imagine this in this story, the Rav is quite beside himself. I don't know what's going to be. Okay, we'll see what happens over Shabbos. Motzi Shabbos. This is part two. The Rav gets a phone call. He anxiously picks it up. This time, it's from the trucker himself, not the transport company. Rabbi, do you know where I am? Please tell me. I'm in the exact spot I was on Friday afternoon. Nothing has moved. There's an absolute blizzard here. What should I do? The clock is expiring in a couple of hours. That's the last thing that this rabbi wanted to hear.
Pray.
Oh, no. In honor of today, maybe it's time for a Hail Mary. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do? So the rabbi reaches out to, he knows a Jew, doesn't live so far over there in Nebraska. Actually, there are some Jews in Nebraska. Yeah. And tries reaching out to him, hey, could you go down and hose down this meat? The guy says to him, Rabbi, do you know what's going on over here in Nebraska? There ain't no way I'm able to get in the car and drive 30 minutes, 40 minutes to get there. Impossible. It's not going to happen. Okay. I'm in trouble. You know, as a Rav, you know, things come down to the wire, right? Look, you try to hold out to the last possible minute, trying everything possible. Okay? You know, what can I do? You throw your hands up. So the Rav figured, he just got this phone call back. The guy told him he can't make it. He ran out of options. It was over. But he figured, I'm not going to call him right now. I'll wait another hour till the clock, you know, hits zero. And I'll tell him, you know, fortunately we're stuck. Within the hour, he gets a phone call back from the trucker. Rabbi, I solved our problem. How did you solve the problem? I noticed, not far from where my truck was, there was a firehouse. I went to the firehouse. I told the fire department my predicament. They brought the fire truck to the highway. They took out their hoses and they hosed down the meat. Three cheers for this trucker. He says, Rabbi, not only that, I have it down here. Chief O'Donnell wrote me a letter. I have the quote. On Saturday evening, the 22nd of January, at exactly 9:25 p.m., I personally oversaw the successful washing of a kosher load of meat loaded on trailer 186CX and tractor 2008 PR. To this declaration, I do solemnly lend my signature and seal, James P. O'Donnell, Fire Chief, Lincoln Fire Station Number 2. The trucker was calling the rabbi, besides to tell him the good news, to ask him, Rabbi, do I have to get this letter notarized? The Rav, now we're both sides, this gets, you can't get any better. The Rav, you think, is about to dance. Oh my gosh, this is Min HaShemayim, let's get Pesach Kron on the other line. But the Rav was anything but happy. He expressed, he's a Rav has to know how to play every situation. So the trucker was excited. The Rav was excited back. Wow, this is a brilliant idea. That's great. Amazing. Thank you so much. The Rav hung up the phone. He's like, Houston, we have a problem. The problem is, it's not so simple for Chief O'Donnell to be the one to wash the meat. Why is it not so simple for Chief O'Donnell to wash the meat? So this, I didn't put on the sheets. But Shulchan Aruch, over there earlier in Siman Samach Tet, the Sif Yud, talks about, is a Gentile believed in doing this water in this process? Anything really within the Malikal process. Is a Gentile believed to do it? And the Halakha writes, yeah, a Gentile will be believed, providing it's supervised by a Jew. A Jew is watching.
What if you look at the meat and you could see the blood is... Mm-hmm.
Oh, so that's a very good shayla. Right. Very, very interesting. Right? So, on this particular part of the tshuva, and it's not a tshuva, this is a story someone sent me. So, I had to do the background research. Some of what's written in the story, the Rav, telling this over, put down Mar Makomos for the basis of what transpired in the story. This part he didn't. So, I had to go through it myself. Lemaisa, it seems, I didn't ask anyone involved in Kashas this particular prat. You bring up a very good point. Look, we could provide a litmus test. We could know if the meat was washed, right? Let's say he sends us pictures of water dripping from the meat. Let's say he has a whole video of O'Malley, you know, O'Donnell washing the meat. I mean, that would be a great video, no? Right? Fire department washing down kosher meat, you know, it'll be all over the Jewish websites, you know. Good story. That gets into a different issue. Would we use video? There's a video count for Eidos. This is complicated. Another aspect of this is, do we believe Gentiles when they testify about something? Not so simple. The whole concept of Mesiach Lefitumo. If a Gentile is not believed normally outside of certain circumstances, they're not believed for Eidos. They are believed sometimes when they say things in passing. This is a little bit more than saying something in passing. Here he's trying to give a declaration, a testimony of what happened. So the whole concept of Mesiach Lefitumo, even believing in what happened, is suspect. You know, look, even if... So in this case, I don't know if they had a video testimony. There might be different video or pictures or something to prove it to us. But in this case, it's a letter and word believing in what the person said. So that's more complicated than halacha.
So examining the meat, the meat up to the fact to see that it...
But the guy wasn't able, no one was able to get there right away.
To know it's not hard.
Right. 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 I know they have all those things to put in your turkey to see what temperature the meat is.
Yeah, I don't know that you can tell. I don't know that you can tell. I don't know how this, you could tell whether
the blood is hardened.
The blood's not hard. I don't think it's something that's necessarily that easy to detect. Strange science,
the
stuff
with
the blood.
The fact that there are other firefighters who were on the truck as witnesses help at all in any way, shape, or form?
Unless one of them was named Cohen. Maybe two of them. Yeah.
It doesn't seem that this is glad.
Is it a question? Is it a question of believability?
There's two issues.
Halacha you quoted was, it works as long as there's somebody, a Jew, standing there, which seems to imply it's not just a question of...
Right, I said there's two issues.
Believability.
Right. There's two issues. Did he do the right thing? Right, it's supervision. And B, was the process done well? Like we said before, it's not so simple. If you spray a little bit of water, that's the same as really hosing it down. Now, I have no question. Fire department knows how to hose things down. But you're right, there's really two issues. Was the process done well? And number two, do we believe them on transmitting that information to us? So those are two very tricky things.
So
yes?
I just wanted to know what was the conclusion.
Oh, we ain't finished yet.
We have to wait until...
Right? So now we have quite a predicament. We have this meat that the clock has expired. It says 000, all zeros on the clock. The meat, to our knowledge, was not successfully washed to prevent, to allow for melicha. What do we do? And worse than that, this trucker is bringing his meat. He thinks he's a Super Bowl hero. He's going to Disney after this. He saved this meat. So that brings us to Sunday morning. Part three. Sunday morning, this Rav who originally got the Shaila found out the destination of this truck, which community is getting the shipment of meat. And he's on the phone with that local Rav to tell him what has so far transpired. You have this meat that was not successfully washed within 72 hours. The trucker thinks it was, but it wasn't. And now you have this meat coming to your community, and you have to deal with it. And you have to explain to everybody what's going on. You thought the first Rav had things tough. Can imagine what's doing with the second Rav. You didn't know anything about this. All of a sudden, he's getting a truckload of meat, which everyone is waiting for. The lines of the tourists, you know, on Collins are lining outside the door waiting for their meat. And the truck pulls up. Everyone's already, you know, pulling the meat off the truck. No. Right? That's only happens after hurricanes. But now you have to tell the Rav what to do. So hold on 1 second. So this Rav was really hot water. So he contacted a posek. The story does not tell me which posek he consulted with. But this posek had a heter. This posek thought, under the duress of such a tough situation, one could allow this meat to be salted and then eaten by frum Jews all around the town. 72 hours passed. The meat wasn't salted. It wasn't washed. The firemen, I mean, think about this. This is really a good real life story. You think this trucker and the fireman saved the day. They didn't. They made the problems worse. They didn't make it worse, but it didn't make it worse in the sense that it's confusing to some people what went on. So what could he do? So this is where the Rav, a posek, has to save the day. So in fly is some posek, and he matred the meat to do melech on. What was his heter? So let's talk about the concept of frozen meat. Till now, we've been talking about a regular slab of meat that was shechted, now transported, obviously some refrigerated truck, but the meat wasn't frozen, fresh meat. What would be if after shechting, they immediately go and freeze the meat? What happens then? Major, major machlokas in the poskim. If one freezes meat before it was salted, could you still do melicha or not? There's a beer hativ on the bottom of your sheets, quotes of Minchas Yaakov, who says, I'm not going to get into all the halakhic ins and outs of this, but he says that once meat was frozen, you can no longer salt it. So freezing meat makes things worse. Practically, you could do the melicha and then freeze it. You know, places like Eretz Yisrael, where there's not so much cattle and not so much meat available, I believe most of the meat in Eretz Yisrael comes from like Argentina. They ship it in. But pashtus, we'll see, I assume, for sure the badatz meat, I assume they shecht it and salt it and then freeze it and send it. But if one would freeze meat before salting, the Bir Hatev brings the Minchas Yaakov, game over, you're stuck, you can no longer freeze that meat, no longer salt the meat. However, if you look on the other side of the page, it's an Aruch HaShulchan. In the first paragraph, he talks about what was brought up before, what happens if this meat was in some frozen type mix where it's thawing and some water, and manila, there's water there, it's not really ice, there's more water there, so it's like soaking in it, is that good enough? But in Ayin Tes, he deals with frozen meat. And he first brings this opinion that frozen meat can no longer be salted. But very interestingly, the Aruch HaShulchan argues. If you look in the middle of the piece in Ayin Tes, he says, Amnon Yishlom Alahepach. To me it appears just the opposite. I'm reading from the middle of the paragraph in the Ayin Tes. Techozman HaKrisha Lo'inechshu Bizman HaGimel Yamim Mitam Zeh Atzma. 72 hours doesn't count from when it's frozen. The Aruch HaShulchan says, when this meat is super frozen, it doesn't allow for the blood to harden. The whole meat is hard. But the process of the blood hardening does not take place in frozen meat. If you look the last six lines, the Aruch HaShulchan brings a proof from what he calls mitzias, from what we see. The chayin on a roam bechush, shabalsu she'ina karish, umulach eiluz yam. What if a piece of meat? You didn't freeze it, but it's left over for a few days. Miskalku b'time of ureicho. What's going to happen to meat you left out of the freezer, left out of the refrigerator? That meat's going to go bad. It's going to smell. Ukeshu because we shall afil yamim not harbe. But you put meat in the freezer, even after many days. When you unfreeze that meat, you cook it, it's the same texture, moisture, it's great. So thus the Aruch HaShulchan wants to rule. If you freeze meat, then you're stopping any negative process. Freezing meat is a good thing. So if one would freeze the meat, the Aruch HaShulchan says, you're good. The meat's good. Yeah. So once the meat is frozen, you could keep it going for beyond 72 hours. And they're just thawed. And after it's thawed, you can do melicha. And then eat the meat. That's Aruch HaShulchan Seder. Rav Moshe Feinstein on the left column has a tshuva that discusses this, and he brings both sides. He brings a Menachas Yaakov who prohibited it, and he challenges that. He says, in general, like I quoted before from the Shach, we look to be mekel when it comes to the process of malicha, some of these halachos. But he still doesn't jump fully on board with the idea of freezing meat, because lemaisa it's machlokas and there are yisurim involved. So Rav Moshe says, in the bidyevit situation where one is stuck, one could rely on freezing the meat to extend the period till you do malicha. So thus, this posik ruled in the case of where the truck was not stuck with a broken tire or broke down on the side of the road. Our case was it was stuck in a blizzard. The truck was stuck in a blizzard on the side of the road. If it was a blizzard, it was freezing outside. You could assume the meat was frozen. If the meat was frozen, when it gets to town, assuming it's within 72 hours, I guess, from it, unfreezing, right? Then you can hose it down and do the whole malicha process. And thus this Rav saved the day for the meat and the happy people in that town.
Another issue.
Yes.
Once the fire department opened the truck, you have a question of loss of solid line.
Interesting. Okay. Yes.
My question is, does the public have the right to know that they're buying heter meat?
Great question. That's a halakha question that one would ask. Different kosher organizations have different standards. And a knowledgeable consumer will ask people in the kosher world, okay, what, how does this meat get to my plate?
Yeah? Every single time they buy meat?
No, you ask in general, you can ask in general what the standards are. But for the most part, it's relying on, if you feel comfortable with those rabbanim, they'll take the best care possible. When you're stuck, look, you have to rely on leniencies. But I'd like to just end off. We started talking about sports. Super Sunday. People got their meat. I'd like to end off with one amazing story, which I just had the privilege this week.
Second, I have to share that the sports I did, the Peyton Manning in this situation with just yelled Omaha and it and everything.
Thank you very much.
Omaha, get it? Only the sports fans got that.
I got it.
Now, I just had this chus the other day. I was in New York. And I was in New York on Thursday. So I was by a chasna. And I had the chus to see and meet Reb David Feinstein Shlita. Gedoli Hador, the Poske Hador. And the Mishnah talks about that Talmidim came to one of the Tanoim and asked, talk about Yerushalayim. So they were saying, how far should Yerushalayim go? A person be fearful of Hashem. So the Rebbe, the Tana, answered, Halvai Yerushalayim should be as good as your fear of a boss of a dog. Tana understood people and understood where people were holding, and he guided them on that level. Rav David Feinstein grew up, I believe he might have been born in Europe, but he grew up in America, the side of his father. And Rav Moshe was quite cognizant of everything going on in America. Smart person. And the legends have it that Rav David, he's a bucky in Kola Torah Kula. As a kid, he was a bucky in Kol Stats Kula. Sports. He understood sports. He understood America. Rav David Feinstein once came to someone asked him to give a bracha to a young boy. The young boy, Rav David turns to, he's like, do you like learning Torah? Boy, 7-year-old boy, 8-year-old boy, says, not really. Rav David turned to him, said, do you like sports? Do you like baseball? The kid says, yeah. Rav David said, I'll give you a bracha that you should enjoy learning Torah just as much as you enjoy sports. I told Rav David Feinstein this story over this past Thursday night because I'm that boy. I was a kid. I got a nice little bracha from Rav David Feinstein. So he asked me, new? Did it work? I told him, yeah, not only that, I said, my kids also like sports. Can I get a bracha? I got one for my Talmidim too. But Lamaisa, you got to know the score. You got to know where people are holding. And you got to know where you get your meat from. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.